on. It's on. Now it's my privilege to introduce Meeta Chowdhury, who is holds her PhD from Northwestern. She is a professor, full professor at Vassar. She has written two valuable books as well. Convents and Nuns in 18th Century French Politics and Culture, followed recently, The Wanton Jesuit and the Wayward Saint, A Tale of Sex, Religion, and Politics in 18th Century France. Meeta.
It's like doing a dance.
Yes, it's kind of interesting.
So I want to start today by summoning up Colbert. Stephen Colbert for you. Stephen Colbert has a segment he now has in his late night show, Midnight Confessions. I don't know if you're familiar. And it places Colbert behind a grill where he confesses his various sins to the audience. And so, for example, his absolute outrage at people who confuse sci-fi and fantasy, for those of you who know his obsession with the Lord of the Rings, or his absolute love of The Notebook. The segment always ends where he asks the audience to forgive him, and the audience in unison says, "We forgive you." They absolve him. So you might say, okay, what does this little moment of modern contemporary humor have to do with the 18th century? If you think about this segment, what Colbert has done is it's clear that the confession is something that is private, okay? And the humor in this, of course, is that it is, in fact, the public that is absolving him. So it's that public-private dichotomy that I want to bring into thinking about the 18th century and kind of question. Now, recent historiography has shown that early modern confession and early modern often involved rigorous introspection. And at the center of that introspection was often the male cleric. Although the cleric's presence upheld the authority of the church, this focus on the interior suggests, as Moshe Slavovsky and Charlie Coleman have argued, that modern subjectivity also had its roots in spiritual introspection. There's a lot of value to these conclusions, and they've certainly formed parts of my work on the Girard Carrière case. But I would also say it suggests a series of problematic dichotomies. If religious interiority is equated with modernity, then is the outward expression of faith strictly linked to the pre-modern? Okay, certainly, you know, religious processions or mystery plays have their roots in the Middle Ages as vehicles for affirming the community of believers. But I would say that this kind of external manifestation was not just a thing of the past, but had its own dynamic in the 18th century. And moreover, religious expressions that we associate with the interior also were carried out in the forms of spectacle. And the spectacle I want to interrogate is, in fact, the confession. And so I'm going to provide two examples. And I feel like I owe an apology for those of you who have heard me give too many papers on Girard Carrière, because here's just one last segment. It'll be like the nuns. Eventually I will lose Girard Carrière. Okay. One of the things in the 1731 trial of Catherine Carrière and Jean-Baptiste Girard, Catherine Carrière accused her Jesuit confessor Girard of seduction, bewitchment, and heresy, and how he used his role as confessor and spiritual director to get away with all of these crimes. So it was behind the confession. It's this idea that the confession is in many ways the starting scene of the crime. And so Carrière, in making her accusations, goes before the public. And in my book, what I've argued is, in that many ways, what Carrière does is she swaps confessors. During the trial, instead of a Jesuit, it was now the public that served as a kind of confessor. During the trial, in particular, there are two memoirs that are written in, quote, her voice, and she confesses her weaknesses, bears her feelings, and showcases the intimate world of her family. In other words, Carrière gains a kind of authenticity by confessing her story to the public with the expectation of being pitied and ultimately of being absolved of any potential wrongdoing. And in some ways, I would say she anticipates Rousseauian transparency with its emphasis on authenticity of feeling, experience, and familial relations, and having just taught the confessions. I think that's true. The important point here is that this act of transparency in the form of confession was in fact performed, and that this performance was necessary for atonement and absolution. But there's, we can say, okay, the Cadier affair is just one story, but there's a larger story that comes nearly 20 years later when confessions again transform into theatrical moments, and that has to do around the billet de confession. And as most of you know, this is the point where a dying a believer was asked to sign a document affirming that their confessor had in fact sworn to uphold unigenesis, and the consequence, if they refused to do so, was of course that they would die without receiving confession and the last rites. One of the most famous episodes of this was the death of and funeral of Charles Coffin in June of 1749. He is denied the sacraments, and Edmond Barbier notes that at his funeral, 4,000 people came to pay their respects, and they bore witness to his piety and his fidelity to his conscience, and in many ways they formed a protest against the billet de confession. And what's important here is that the story of Coffin, of course, gets repeated, and similar stories are in some ways, I would say, get restaged and made into spectacle in the pages of the Les Nouvelles Ecclesiastiques. Okay? Now, certainly we know of these stories around the kind of political story of unigenitus and Jansenism. But here I want to pay attention to, because these are also moments that have to do with conscience and context and confession. In other words, with the interior. And these are moments where that kind of interiority, in fact, is being staged. And so, in fact, even in this, we're seeing confession take a kind of theatrical element where the presence of the crowd authenticates the individual, even when that individual has been denied, wrongfully denied confession. And what ties my two examples together is that they take place at critical moments in which clerical authority was being contested. And it's in these theatrical moments that the public, and not the clergy, gave legitimacy to inner authenticity of the penitent. So what are the questions we might pursue? And I came up with this morning, so please be patient. I was talking to Lynn Mullenauer, and she made a very, very astute observation that Christianity, in its essence, is about the inward state. But there is a way in which the Christian is always seeking some kind of outward authentication of that inward state. And so as my mind was drifting, I thought of Judith Butler. And in summary... crude, brief summary, Judith Butler, as some of you know, argues that gender identity is constructed when an individual performs gender over and over again, and it gets internalized and sedimented. And might we not also think of the individual believer's own faith and own sense of being a believer is also performative in that way, that in fact it's this repetition of certain kinds of words, certain kinds of behavior that then gives the inner sense of being a Christian. And in that, I want to think about something like confessional manuals, okay? Confessional manuals were about the emphasis of an introspective faith, but they also provided a script in which there are two roles, the role of the penitent and the confessor. And so what we have then, and it's through that you have this ritual of atonement and absolution, and finally an affirmation of faith, of that faith being pure and within, okay? So what happens then in the 18th century, particularly around these very spectacular moments of within Jansenist controversies, is that these attacks on clerical authority, even within the closed and so-called private confines of the confession, raise this question of then who will affirm that interior self, okay? And so we might say, is this a moment of actually secularization, that that's what we're seeing? And so it becomes a question of this task of performativity shifts, because now what we have then is that the self seems to being authenticated not by the clergy, but by the public. But it is still a kind of religious self that keeps being performed over and over again. And this, and in part, what I'm curious about is to continue thinking about the place of religiosity in the public sphere, not just in the context of the political, which has been done a lot, but in larger cultural forms. Thank you.